Good morning. Today is Wednesday, December the 20th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Mohn. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it will be once this thing is gone.
Today's quote.
Knock it out of the park, buddy.
It's a Santa quote. Christmas is a time when kids tell Santa what they want and adults pay for it. Deficits are when adults tell government what they want and their kids pay for it.
Ho, ho, ho.
Richard Lamb. Yeah.
Ain't that the truth? How do you keep that in mind? You know, everybody's got things that they could spend money on. Everybody's got different priorities than what you do. Because they're individual priorities. How do you wade through that one and go, you know, this is what I think is best for the county. This is what I think is best for that dollar that's available in that department. How do you do that? Well, either without becoming so egotistical that you think you know everything, or so lost in the minutiae that you placate everybody and nothing ever gets.
Yeah, I'm good on that one. You know, I think, and simplistic, and you used the word Pollyanna earlier when we were talking about something. As Pollyanna as it sounds and everything else, I've got two grandkids who I want to grow up here. I want them to prosper here. And if you don't think that thinking about what's good for the kids, you know, and it sounds hokey as hell, but what will work down the line? I mean, people during the general plan, oh my God, Armageddon's going to come in and, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And it always amazes me. It's just, you know, and I've been hearing for 60 years, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And it hasn't happened yet, but.
And then you look at the state of the roads and the bridges and you go, okay, you know, thank you, Ike, but, okay, you got that. Now, Bill Damiano was on last Wednesday, and he was talking about the new facility and the construction, and it took 10 years, I think, to get through the process. You got the new jail, the expansion that's going to be coming up, hopefully, shortly.
Yeah.
All these things that take time, they're the bones, though, for the future. Sorry.
Well, I remember, and it's been about 3 years ago, I read an article, and it was... And I think it was, I don't know, Chobani Yogurt. Is that what it's called? Is it anyway? Yogurt company. They're based on the East Coast in New York, and they wanted to build. They were looking for a facility. Actually, looked in California. They were looking for a quaint valley to put their yogurt facility in on the West Coast, so they didn't have to bring stuff over the Rockies that could support 1,100 cow. I mean, oh my God, did this sound? But it was in the Western Dairyman's magazine, and it just said California wasn't the right culture for Chobani.
Are they in the Willamette?
Idaho. Went to Idaho, and we're up and running in 15 months. So I mean, we run into a problem of we are being so protective that we're overregulating ourselves away from those good types of business, and as we've added all this regulatory process, it's biting us back in the foot, going that it's hard for us to compete. And again, California just became, I see we just jumped ahead, we're back to being the sixth largest economy in the world. You know, I guess most of you can probably put some of that to the tech and everything else, but I'm just saying it's a tough place to do business. But in the same newspaper where I was reading about that, I noticed 4,500 jobs had moved to Texas. So
yeah,
the cost, or 4,500 businesses, excuse me.
Gross is one thing.
Yeah.
Most of us know net is something entirely different.
Yeah.
So as you look at California, we've got now the gas tax has been in place for a little bit and the diesel tax. What are you hearing from your buddies in the other rural areas or those, you know, your former livelihoods? How are they dealing with this stuff?
And that's such a two-edged sword for me. Because it's going to bring approximately $7 million into our road budget, county road budget. And it's going to bring, I think almost one point something into the city road budget. And I tell you what, the city and the county could use some work on their roads.
But at the cost of what?
You know, the gas tax, and I'm not going to sit here and defend it, but it sounds like I'm going to, but I'm not.
Well, the gas tax
hadn't changed in 27 years, I think it was. It hadn't changed. In 27 years, it hadn't changed at all. Asphalt has more than doubled in price since then. Wages have more than doubled in price. And so what we weren't doing is we weren't keeping up with. And then the other thing is we're subsidizing electric cars, high mileage cars, so we're not getting as much tax dollar in. Something had to give because our roads were still taking a beating. Truck fees have gone up. I mean, truck fees are, you know, extreme.
So we incentivize one area, and are they, staff?
Yeah.
So incompetent that they don't go to the next level and go, okay, now what does that mean to the next? Great, everybody's driving 100 mile an hour or 100...
mile per gallon cars.
Yeah. Great. Well, that means you're going to be buying about five times less fuel. Now, what economies are based on that fuel?
I mean,
just would be a logical sequence if Rex, the private guy, was doing it, or Brian, the private guy, was doing it, say, okay, we do this. Now, let's take that thing out.
You better have a plan to what's going to fix that bridge that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, or make the determination that, okay, we get it. That it shouldn't come in as a surprise, and now we have to surtax everybody on the backside to backfill in whatever it is. Lottery tickets go down.
Yeah.
Okay, now we don't have enough for education. What do you mean? It was supposed to be extra. But you did in the shell game. Doesn't anybody pay attention to this stuff?
Well, I think it's just like anything else. I think it's shiny and beautiful when you're selling it, and then it's not as shiny and beautiful after you've taken delivery. And they always give you the high. I think that's why I appreciate our CAO so much, even in our budgeting process. She errs on the side of caution. She doesn't say, it looks like, you know, with the growth rate we're having, we'll have $12 million excess. She says we should have seven. And when we end up with 12, it's not because she's inept at all. She's being very smart, because then if we hit the number, we're in great shape. If we hit five, we're able to adjust for the two. And so I think at budget time, that has helped.
Is the same thing been true with the marijuana stuff?
Marijuana has come fairly close, not as much because it's taken so long to get the permits through, because there is, I think everybody is so cautious to get it right that we're almost taking too long and driving people back underground
because
it's driving them nuts. Yeah. Because what you're doing is you're trying to give a regulatory process, a full-blown three-agency regulatory process, to an industry that has never been regulated before.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept before the break, you were talking about how long it takes. Well, now you've heard that from the building community. You've heard that from the developer community. You've heard that from a lot of folks over the years. As I recall, that was one of the things that kind of cattle prodded you into this thing.
I 5 minutes before I got here today, I ran into a developer, builder, and, you know, a friend of mine. So obviously if they build houses and they're a friend of mine, they turn into a big developer, which is, we don't have those guys. You know, I think I always appreciated Alan Bongio when I put Alan on the and I, again, deepest regrets to the family, because Aldo passed away and he was one of my favorite guys in the world. But Alan, when I put him on the planning commission, somebody said I'd put a big developer on there, and Alan's in his 50s now, and he has built 59 homes in his career since he started. So, you know, a little less than two a year. So that damn giant developer he is. But anyway, people's idea of what they consider a big developer, I think we don't have that. We have guys doing subdivisions. We have kids that came out of high school building houses, and they're still building houses. More power to them. And there's a string of them that are doing well. They're not KB Homes. So,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
But, I mean... But anyway, back to what I was saying, I ran into this guy, and he sat there and he says, hey, by the way, because he used to be a big critic, he says, planning and building is doing a great job right now. And I'm sitting there, and I looked at him, and I says, I thought he was being facetious, and he goes, no, they're doing a great job. And he is also one of the guys that will send an email in a heartbeat going, what the hell are you guys doing? So it was good to hear. And I think John Ford's doing a great job. I mean, we're balancing. We've got two basic departments, you know, the dope, marijuana, cannabis, whatever we're calling it this week. And then we have our planning and building, the housing, and you know, that part of it. So, and we just lost our chief building inspector. First one we've ever had since 1982. Todd Sabolik just retired. So we lose a lot of institutional really knowledge there.
Proper.
You know, we shouldn't have let him retire.
No, I mean, I was a classmate of his.
Yeah, I know. Thank you very much. Yeah.
And, you know, now, was that
Yeah.
Obviously, I went in the wrong career.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but Todd is retiring and a good man, great guy. I mean, to say him and I butted heads would be an understatement. I mean, when I built the ball fields and everything else, and I would argue, and it was hard arguing with somebody that was always right because he was usually always right, but he always was available to give me the avenue to get to where I needed to be. So, because I was...
So he's not going
to
be a consultant?
He'll probably be a consultant now. More power to him. He said it best the other day. He says, I'm getting jaded and I'm getting cranky. And I said, I don't want to do this job being a cranky old man. So, you know. So he left on his terms and great stuff. And he's, you know, he'd given us fair warning, you know, that about a year or so. But it'll move on, but we'll lose a lot of that institutional knowledge. So that was...
Well, that's, I guess, always part of the challenge. Whenever you're trying to make things better, is you got to know where there was wrong before.
Yeah.
And be able to, you know, increase or benefit or make those changes so you don't fall into that same mud puddle again.
Yeah. So, I mean, and things go well. But, I mean, we're seeing some improvements. And because I'm one of these guys that as soon as the plans get permitted, if we don't pull them through a knothole and they hit all the criteria and they get there, the sooner they buy their building materials and pay sales tax on that, the sooner they get a structure built and improved structure built and we can put it on the tax rolls. The minute we're providing housing for families and we're providing income for the county. So,
well, I suppose that
sounds pretty simple, but
speaks volumes to have as much retail here as we possibly can for the sales tax. And yet we have challenges in that arena also.
Yeah.
It's interesting. If somebody steps back and see how it's all interconnected, some do and some don't.
You know, in my history as being born in a corner grocery store, I'm kind of anal. I like going to the Carl Johnson's and the Ferndale's. And I like talking to the guy that owns the shop. You know, somebody was talking about their Amazon packages that are getting stolen. And I says, you know something? I've never bought anything from Amazon. And I wouldn't know how to.
I think about the only things that I buy are things that are no longer available here.
Yeah.
Books.
There are some books, things, yeah.
It's tough. And baseball cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe the occasional piece of clothing.
Yeah.
Just because of my mutant size.
Size, yeah.
But other than that, it's like, yeah, why would you want to go out?
We've got some. And we've got, you go to Ferndale. I mean, the Craftsman they got down there. And you can buy something down there that will last forever and nobody else will have. I mean, when you go to some of those stores, they have stuff. You know.
What are you hearing about Santa Rosa? I know you were involved there early on trying to help out. Are they getting things settled in? Is Humboldt County doing any assist?
I drove through there the other day, and I was kind of taken aback for a minute because I saw all these tow trucks going by and realized they all had somebody on their, a couple cars on their flatbed, and they were towing one, and they were all Hulks, and you could hardly tell what kind of car they were. So they were cleaning them out, obviously taking them to the junkyard to, what's his name, Shrubbles, in Oakland or wherever. And that surprised me. They didn't have a crusher up there, so they could just crush them and pile more instead of taking. But Oakland's so close, it's probably just as easy, you know.
Well, because they probably are pretty expensive.
Because there's no doubt that all the liquids are out of them. I mean, there's the tires, everything's gone. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I've got my neighbor is down there working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, with an end dump, with some local people over here. And they're just hauling the waste to the landfills. They're just cleaning neighborhoods. The way I understand it, there's offers of work you can, for the next year, cleaning it out. And you know, it's kind of funny. During the fire, you hear a little bit about it, but it just seems, and this it kind of goes with the territory. On the national news, L.A., the 800 homes that have burnt in L.A., the lead story, what's going on? I mean, it's the huge thing. 8,800 structures burnt in those fires in Sonoma and Lake and Napa and those areas. Over 8,800 structures, and they did cover it, but I mean, 15% of the homes are burnt in LA, and it's the lead. Oh my God, and some more are going to go. You know, and it's and it is serious. I mean, there is no doubt about it. It's serious. But Santa Rosa, talking to the supervisor the other day, they are going to prevail, and they are moving forward. But it's a marathon. It's not a race. It's going to be a while.
It's also 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Lolita Cheese Factory, and by Redec. Rex, as you're looking at this new title that will be confirmed on you shortly, what is the official title? Is it president? Is it chair? Is it
chair?
Dunce?
The Rural County Representative Dunce, yeah. Rural County Representatives of California.
You know, when they tell you it's you're like a cone head?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't buy into it, okay?
But we, it's basically like I was talking, you know, 35 rural counties representing 9% of the population, 53% of the land mass, 80% of the water, 92% of the aggregate, 95% of the timber. You know,
sounds like the state of Jefferson.
We have a lot, and there are some Jeffersonites on there.
Isn't it amazing how often you see those now? Even just north, we went down and got the kid.
The sign.
Outside of Sacramento. There's
very
the
nice
state
signs
of Jefferson.
Too, right there on the I-5. That one. Yeah. No.
It's
right.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of frustration going on.
And it was also same rancher, I think, also says, "We feed America, respect us," you know, and then he always says.
So with that kind of as a backdrop, you know, that's not one of the reasons why this entity exists, but what is the level of recognition that the rest of the state has about the rural counties?
Well, and what it is what we do is we champion. We've got a 35, 40 employees, and they champion for policies, rural policies that will assist rural counties. Because the problem being is most policies that come out of the capital are suburban, urban-based, metropolitan-based. They are not rural policies. One size doesn't fit all. We're finding that out with air quality. We're finding that out with the Coastal Commission. We have to, I mean, we're suffering the ills of the L.A. Basin, you know, San Francisco. We have to suffer. So they instill, hey, we got to have low emission sulfur, we got to hit this, we got to hit this, we got to do this. And then they bring it up. And as you bring up, the guy that started the next Jefferson County movement, the Jefferson State movement, is an airline pilot for American Airlines, I believe. He owns a radio station up in Siskiyou County. And he also is a gentleman farmer. And he took his tractor in to get worked on, and they said he's going to have to put on a new air trap. It was going to cost him $6,000. So what's my tractor worth after I? They wouldn't take it on trade-in because it wasn't legal in California anymore. So he says, okay, if I bring it up, what's it worth on trade-in? He says $6,000. And so then he did a little more research, and he found out Siskiyou County, even during the fires, has never had a bad air day. And he's going, why the hell am I, you know? And it's the frustrating part of it. Now, and as people know, I've got a Jefferson State flag flying outside my office. It was a gift to me, and I fly it out there. And I've gone to a lot of the meetings. I believe in a lot of the theories, but at the end of the day, I'm a realist, and I realize the idea of taking a whole bunch of poor counties and making a poor state probably doesn't work.
No, but you look at some of those Now, you may say poor. I would like to say low revenue.
Low revenue. But okay.
You look at the Wyomings. Yeah. You look at the Montanas and guys like this. They're the ones that have got a balanced budget. Now, they may not have quite the same social programs, and they may not have some of the same things that some of the more, call them, developed states like California, like New York, like Florida do. But you know what? At the end of the day, they're able to balance their budget.
Yeah, and
life goes on.
Yeah. And I'm saying, and there's some models that people are working on. There's some really committed, really smart people saying, I mean, there's that theory of breaking, you know, California up into three states. I'm not sure that's not a bad model. I mean, there's going to be a lot of divisions on the public schools, especially on the state university system and the junior college. There's going to, you know, the state highways.
So maybe there's a little bit more local accountability because it's not so large.
Yeah, and you know, and most of our water rights are gone. Our water rights were sold. So I mean, they're sewed up. So it's our water, but they get to take it. So, and that's the way we're built. So, I'm not saying it's a bad model. It's just we're going to have to do a lot more work to go to it. And I don't think I will ever see it in my life. I know I won't see it in my lifetime, but I don't know if it will ever, you know, come to fruition. But there are a lot of people really committed to it. And a lot of it's out of frustration. A lot of it's because...
Well, and recognition also. The distinctiveness of each of the various areas. I mean, Southern California has nothing in common that Northern California has.
Yeah, state representation. I mean, we are very well covered with Senator McGuire and Assemblyman Woods. They're up here a lot. There's no doubt about it. But they go from Marin all the way over to Weaverville up to the Oregon line. Now, you take a look at L.A. County. We'll throw L.A. County in. I think they have 28 or 29 assemblymen just in L.A. County. But I don't know if that many. I think maybe 16. But I mean,
wouldn't it be cool if we had two senators that represented our perspective?
I can.
I mean, that starts to change things at the federal level significantly.
When I worked for the pulp mill, they were actually looking at buying a mill in Washington, met both the senators, one of them twice, and you know, Washington State is a lot smaller state, but they'll show up to a pancake breakfast. When was the last time we had a senator up here?
Just visit, yeah.
I mean, just here. I mean, just do a drive-through. We've only got 240, you know, from Mendocino to the border, we've only got a little over 200,000 people. We don't elect them. We don't see them. We do get representation, but they have to focus on where they're at, so...
Where the votes are. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. Back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, so when you are slinging the gavel, not at the supervisor's chambers, yep, but with RCRC, how does Humboldt County benefit?
Rural policies on the we've got a seat on the state level. We've got a seat. We're recognized on the state level. We're representing, like, I'll be representing all 35 rural counties, but I'm going to be focused. You're not focusing, but I mean, it's going to be hard not to realize, hey, in Humboldt, for example, in Humboldt, this is what the problem is.
Your base reference.
You know, base, because that's all, I can't really base what's going on in Merced. You know, I have an idea because I meet with their supervisor once a month because we have a meeting. I've got a pretty good understanding. We have an open, you know, a lot of us talk on the phone, a lot of us, you know. I mean, we all think, hey, this is a great idea, you know, so we have an idea, but the recognition and getting into Washington and Sacramento and talking with them and being able to represent 35 rural counties and the landmass, half of California.
That does get some attention.
But yes, it really does. And I've seen it. I've seen it happen by the past chairmen, and what they've been able to do for their counties and for the rural counties as a whole, because it truly is an organization, whereas what's good for the goose is good for, you know, if it's a good program and it works for you, it should work all the way down the line. And like I was saying, the larger counties, what works for them, one size does not fit all. I mean, and we have found that all. We have found that on a big basis on a lot of. We have found that out on Prop 109. The realignment.
What about with the regulators? When you go to Fish and Game or whatever they're called these days, or any of these state, do you anticipate getting their attention because of the landmass representation, or does the system tend to
probably
push you over because
probably more so when you're talking with fish and wildlife, water quality, a lot of those issues are based, you know, rurally. I mean, fish and wildlife, 80% of all fishing and hunting take place in these 35 rural counties.
Other than that four square block area in L.A.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, because they don't have the resource, but the other thing we fight for is like our payment in lieu of taxes and our, you know, our state taxes, secure rural schools, because some of our counties, I mean, we've got a lot, but some counties are 95, 93, 98% all state and federal lands. How do you manage state and federal lands to that magnitude? The roads, I mean, you've got to have a partnership. And this board, all you have to do is call. If you have one of our member counties has a problem, they can call and have a voice in Sacramento that day. Hey, we can go over and find this out for you. We don't have time.
So that pothole that you hit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's in the 2 miles that they control.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, good case in point, I was able to do, we did quite a bit. The state parks did a great job over in Bull Creek at the park. The road had deteriorated to a terrible point, so everybody from Honeydew was having a heck of, I mean, it was terrible. And I was able to, when I was down in Sacramento, bring it up, and the local guys were all over it. It was just getting it budgeted and done. And they got it done this year, and the people just, you know, it makes our county road the rest of the way look even worse now. But so I get the grief from that. But yeah, it really is. It used to make us look good. So, but it helped us being on the state level to mention that as we moved along, you know, because it gives me the opportunity to be in Sacramento and to meet with these officials and both represent, you know, RCRC. But I mean, but the other thing is, my heart and soul lies in Humboldt.
Well, and I would imagine you get their attention because of the title right now. If you're Supervisor Bob from Timbuktu County, but because of the title, you get that appointment opportunity.
I would expect that, because I think we all do that. I think when somebody earns the title, and I guess, you know, you've earned the title, you should show the respect, I guess.
So hopefully you'll stay there for an extra term.
Yeah.
Why don't you figure out
it's a great group of people, and we do get stuff done for the rural county, so I do appreciate everything they do.
Cool. Merry Christmas, dude.
Happy New Year, all the good stuff. Merry Christmas to everybody out there.